with a story. Actually, it's a small testimony. Several months ago, my husband came to me and said, Pookie, that's what he calls me, I need you to pray for this brother in the church, and he's going to have a procedure. Now, I'm going to tell you exactly what I heard. I heard this. I said, there's a brother in the church who's an usher, and I asked him if I can say this testimony. He's not here. He said yes. Who has glasses, who came from CT, that brother. And my husband said yes. And the Holy Spirit told me he has a cardiac condition and is going for a cardiac procedure. So I pray diligently when the Holy Spirit reminded me and my husband reminded me every single day, every single day, every single day. So then a Sunday several months ago, he was sitting over there, and the Holy Spirit told me, go and tell the brother that he's going to be fine. Oh, you're there. You're there. He's here. You're going to be fine. And so when I went to the brother, I said, brother, I've been praying for you. And he was shocked. His eyes got really big. And I said, you're going to be fine because you are going to have a procedure. And he looked at me and I go, what? And I go, my husband, you spoke to my husband. He goes, no, I never spoke to your husband. He says, yes, you did. You have a cardiac condition. You're going for cardiac procedure, and I want to tell you you're going to be fine. He goes, no, you don't understand. He says, no, do you have a cardiac condition? He said, yes. Are you going to having a cardiac procedure? He said, yes. And I said, you're going to be fine. He goes, you don't understand. I didn't talk to anyone. No one knows. I was going to share it with Pastor Medina so Pastor Medina can pray for me. And I said, well, brother, that's okay. You're going to be fine. You can go over there and let Pastor Medina lay those big hands, anointed hands on you, but you're going to be fine. I don't know how I confused the brothers, but the Lord, the precision of the prayer, he heard his prayer. And I will have something very confident I want to tell you. I may not know a lot of things, may not be sure of a lot of things, but I know that I know God hears me. And God heard that brother's prayer. He didn't speak to anyone, but God heard that brother's prayer. So here we are, Mary and Martha. Their brother Lazarus had died. And that's what was very detrimental, because at this time of history, there was no social services. Women were totally dependent on their male provider, whether it was a father, a spouse, a brother. And here, Lazarus dies. But before he dies, they summon the master. They ask the master to come. They call the master. The master heard the message, but the master didn't come the time that Mary and Martha would like him to come. So when he came, he had already died. And the ladies were distraught, because what was going to happen to Mary and Martha? Why didn't the master come? Why didn't the Lord hear them? See, there's a lot of question in the body of Christ. Why does not God hear me? I know he hears you, but why doesn't he hear me? So when the master arrived, he was already dead. Dead for 4 days, by the way. And there was a great miracle, because I read, according to John, is a Jewish writer. His name is Eli Eisenberg. Not only was the body being decomposed 4 days, right? But the Jews believed that after 3 days, the spirit of the person would no longer be hovering over that body. Therefore, it couldn't re-enter the body. That's what the Jews believed. So when Jesus commanded Lazarus to come out, that was extremely a big deal to them, because that was truly a miracle. But he says a prayer, and he says, Father, I thank you. Because I know that you hear me. The first thing he tells us in that short sentence, he has an intimate relationship with the Father. He is close to the Father. He knows the Father's heart. And he knows the Father will not disappoint him, because the Father and him were extremely close. Sometimes it's sad, because if we're not close to our father, or our father wasn't there when we were growing up, we tend to be tainted with the picture of our father, and we see Father God the same way. But see, Christ and the Father are one, and they have an extremely close relationship. He says, I thank you. He thanks them because there had to be previous experiences. He had to go through something in order to thank the Father. You know, when you have history with God, you begin to reflect backwards. You go backwards. Oh, this is happening now, but I remember when I was in this trouble. I remember when I was in this sickness. I remember when I didn't have a job. I remember when all the enemies and everything around hell decided to lance their biggest target against me. And you keep on going and you keep on going. And that's what Christ had. He began to thank God because he knew that his Father was very close. You see, in order to get close to the Father, it hinges on obedience. If you love God, you obey God. I don't care how you tell me you love God so much. No, if you love me, you obey me. And the Son obeyed the Father. And that caused that intimate relationship to be even closer. So he knew that the Father was going to hear him. And he thanked him in advance. He didn't have to wait for the miracle. He thanked the Lord. Because see, sometimes we become grumblers and complainers. And we only have the negative side of everything. We see fear in everything. We do things and everything is negative. Yet, we forget to thank the Lord because he is faithful. The Bible says he will never leave us nor forsake us. The Bible says he's with us until the end of the age. The Bible says that we are the apple of his eye. So when we love God, we obey him. And God becomes our Father. Not a distant image, not a distant idol, not a distant person, but he becomes our Father. And the Lord said, Father, I thank you. I thank you, I thank you, because he knew that God was going to hear him. He knew he was grateful, the Son of God being grateful to the Father. How much more us that are but merely made out of dust? How much more us that if God decides to just close our lungs, it's over for us. But the Son, in his humility, thanked the Lord. When was the last time you started a prayer thanking the Lord? Thanking the Lord for his mercy and thanking the Lord for his goodness. Thanking the Lord for his provision. Thanking the Lord because he's never left us or forsaken us. Thanking the Lord just because he is who he is. So, number one, he knew that the Father was going to hear him, so he thanked him. That's a practice that I have. First of all, I call him Abba. I call him Dad. He's very close to me, and he's dear to me. So every decision I make is because I love the Father. Everything I do is because I want to please the Father. Everything I think and act and react is because I want the Lord to be pleased. I want Dad to be happy with his girl. So then he goes to the second part of the prayer. Because he always hears me. You always hear me. Regardless of the circumstances, the Lord is available. Regardless if it's up or down in your life, the Lord hears you. Regardless you've decided not to talk to him, he still hears your heart. Regardless if you know have so much money in the bank that you don't know what to do with it, or regardless if you're so poor that you don't know where the next buck is coming from, God is hearing you. He always hears us. It says in Genesis chapter 21, and for anyone here under 21 years old, because I remember when I was growing up, 21 was really the age of adulthood. But it says that Hagar was run out of the home with Ishmael, her son, who was about 17 years old. The father gave him enough to die in the desert. The word of God says that the Lord heard the cry of the boy. Not the mother. The Lord heard the cry of the child. Because as children, three, four, five, six, seven, whatever age, and they're crying out to God, and they may not be able to verbalize their concerns and verbalize what they're going through, but the Lord is listening to that cry of that boy or little girl. Rest assured. So he sends an angel, and he says, Hagar, the Lord heard the cry of your son, and he knows exactly where your son is. And he was sent there to bless Hagar, to give her a hope, to give her a blessing, that they weren't going to die in the desert, but that God had a plan and a purpose for that boy. The Bible says in Genesis, he always hears, despite the circumstances, how grim they are, because going to a tomb and someone's dead and already stench, and worms are eating at his body, that didn't stop the Lord from hearing the cry of those sisters. But the Bible says in Genesis, he heard the blood of Abel, all from the ground, hoping and speaking for vengeance, because what had happened to Abel was done in private. No one else saw but God. And God heard the cry of Abel. Imagine that. It doesn't matter the circumstances. God always hears. I find that remarkable. I find that unbelievable that the Father hears no matter what happens. I find that I go, oh my God, imagine that. Something can happen to you privately, and no one else knows about it. And you've been raped, and you've been molested, and you've been talked down and beat down. Yet God saw it, and God heard it, and God will give vengeance. Amen. Because he heard it. So, I know that I know he hears me. Incredible. Circumstances doesn't stop God from hearing you. It doesn't. It doesn't. He knows what we go through. So hear, always hears. When you're alone in your bedroom, he hears you. When you're alone in your apartment, he hears you. When you're facing surgery, he hears you. He hears what no other man and woman wants to hear or is able to hear. Because you see, hearing in God means to attend to. It means to rescue. It means to take action. Because I can go to someone and say, oh my God, this is happening to me. Have you ever get that? And you're almost embarrassed that you even opened your mouth. Oh, okay, sister. Thank you for listening. But see, when God hears, he hears from his holy temple from on high, the psalm says. And he rescues me. God hears you. He's just not hearing you. Hearing to God means he's going to do something about it. What is it in your life that you want God to do something about and to change? Because God is hearing you. And so it says, I hear the Lord. It says here, I love it because it's called episunix. I had to look that one up. It means hear me, because this is real important stuff I'm going to tell you. It's like in the parliament, hear ye, a declaration is coming. And what is about to be said is important. So Jesus says, truly, truly, verily, verily. And in the Greek, it means amen, amen. We usually use amen at the end of the prayer. Christ used it in the beginning because it says, pay attention to what I'm going to tell you because this is important for your life. And not only is it important for your life, yes and amen means it's going to happen. And so he knows he was going to be heard by God. The Father was going to hear him. It says, hearing the Father. God is hearing you guys. He says, therefore, come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain grace in the time of need. Don't come like you're a stepchild. Don't come like you don't belong. Don't come like you're not worthy. Because don't come that way. Come boldly to the throne of mercy and grace to receive grace in the time of need. Because he's going to answer you. And if he's your dad, he's going to pay attention. And if he's your dad, he's going to protect you. And if he's your dad, he'll make the enemies to lie down. And they'll lie down. And shut their mouth against you. Because that's the God that we serve. Pastor, it says here, his record is totally remarkable. No one like Christ. It says, I cried to the Lord with my voice, and he heard me from his holy hill, and he answered me. The worst thing is that no one answers you, right? You call a person, and that person doesn't return your call. You text a person, and things happen, that person doesn't return your text, right? Or you go to someone, and they promise to do something, and that didn't occur. That's devastating. That's why people have walls. They create walls. They smile at each other, but they're just saying, well, I can't trust you. You're not going to come through. But God, when he hears us, he will act. From his temple, distance is not a problem for Christ. It may be a problem for me because I'm fallible and I'm human. And I might have the greatest intentions to help you, but circumstances may occur that doesn't allow me to help you. But that doesn't stop Christ. He hears and he reacts. At all times, God, he hears. All occasions, he hears. Consistently, he hears. Without fail, he hears. No matter what's happening, he's listening. He's listening. No matter what time of the day, no matter what time of the night, no matter what season we find ourselves, no matter we're old or we're young or we dye our hair for people not to see how white it actually is, you know, it doesn't matter. He hears. He hears. And that's the great thing. It's evening and morning. And at noon, I will pray, and he shall hear my voice. Psalm 55:17, evening and morning. Doesn't matter what time of the day, he's never too busy. No matter what time of the day, you won't get, leave a message. Oh, no matter what time of the day, you're not going to be disappointed because you're able to call on the name of the Lord. And I like that because evening, because sometimes the evening hours can be very hard. Morning is when everything's joyous, and sometimes noon can be where everything's hot and you don't know what to do. No matter what, call on the name of the Lord and he will hear you and answer you. You know, it's amazing because here there were two women, and this was a serious condition that they find themselves in. It was a serious scenario they were facing. They were facing a future without no hope. They were facing a future without their brother. They were facing a future without no finances. They were facing a hopeless future. But you see, the Lord was going to step in and change that future. Because I said two things. It may not be there, but this is what I think, Pastor. You can talk to me later. But this is what I think. Not only did the Lord heard Mary and Martha, he heard Lazarus, because after all, he was the breadwinner, and he was leaving behind two people that he loved. So what was going to happen to my sisters? I'm sure he said that. I'm sure he said that. And I know in my life, when I was a child, I was 11 years old when my mother died, but the only thing my mother had in her mind was four children she was leaving behind. What was going to happen to her kids? And God stepped in and took care of us. So I'm sure Lazarus had a cry too. What was going to happen to my sisters? But he was about to display the greatest thing that they were ever going to witness. And he said, because the third point it says here, so they can know that you sent me. See, Jesus wants you to know that the Father sent him. Jesus is not an afterthought. And Jesus is just not a historical figure. Jesus is the Son of God and God himself. Amen. Jesus wants us to know he was sent by Jehovah God. That he was sent by the Father. And because he was sent by the Father, he was empowered by the Father. Because Jesus is Jesus no matter what. And so he wants us in this room to know him. Because see, sometimes when we are weighed down, sometimes when the mind is so bombarded, it's going to over-circuit. Sometimes when we feel so down and low and everything is crushing at your mind, we forget who Jesus is. We forget that he was sent by the Father. And I want to tell you, when he stepped in and he made that prayer for that miracle, the Lord answered. Because he knew he was going to answer. And I know that I know there's private prayers that I have. And people can be doing whatever they want, and they can be celebrating whatever they want, but I know what I heard, and I know what God's going to do, and I stand in that confidence, because he's the Son of God, sent by God. It says here in Daniel, well, he says, don't be afraid, Daniel. Since the first day you began to pray, since what day? The first day. You, for understanding and to humble yourself before your God, your request has been heard in heaven. And I've come to answer your prayer. Because the Lord is going to do a miracle. Even when everything seems so grim and dead, even when the people are coming to put you in the grave, even when they decided that your life is over and we don't need you anymore, even when they decided that this is going to be, God is going to step in and say, oh no, I'm going to do a greater miracle that's going to rock your world. And what we need here in the midst of us is our world to be a little rock. You know why? Because sometimes we are so weighed down that church becomes status quo. We come, though today the worship was absolutely out of this world, let me tell you. But it's always like this. But sometimes we come to come. Sometimes we lost the fervor. Sometimes we lost the zeal. Because when you pray, and you pray, and you pray, and you pray, and what you pray for, from life went to death, that's very disheartening. That's very like, oh my God, did I hear God? Oh, I've been praying 20 years for my son. The more I pray for my son, the worse it gets. I've been praying for my husband. I've been praying for my husband. And the more I pray, the worse it gets. I want to share another story. And I'm glad because my friends are here and they're witness to this. When we got married, my husband and I went to live in their house, beautiful house, right there in Williamsburg. And so a month after we got married, there was a young couple that lived upstairs, and there was a ruckus, really bad ruckus. But before that happened, my husband used to work nights, and I used to work days. And so he took me to work. Things haven't changed much. He took me to work, and so he came home, but he couldn't sleep. So he began to read a book called The Blood of Christ, and it really impacted him. It really, truly impacted him. And he said, by faith, all right, symbolically, go and cover the entrance and doorways and exit of your home and tell that a death angel cannot come in. And so he prayed that, and he did that. And he was so excited. I remember he calling me, and he said, I even prayed all the way to the sidewalk of the house that we lived in. That evening, September 1st, 1992, he had to go to church. We were 1 month married, so we didn't go to church, but they called him and he had to go. So so there was a ruckus, this young person. Unfortunately, that ruckus, that young man, killed his father-in-law, stabbed him to death. But he didn't stab him upstairs. That all those demons came out of that house, the house that he had prayed for in the morning. The man died. And his blood, and you know that the squares in the sidewalk, where his blood was 1 inch over the property of the house. The Lord knew what was going to happen. We pray for protection. Not knowing was just another prayer. You see, when you're led by God, you don't know what God's going to do. The miraculous thing. Imagine, because then I was all alone from the house for a couple of months because they were renovating their apartment downstairs. My husband works nights, and that was really hard for me. I was there all by myself, but the Lord protected us. God is amazing. Ruthie shared the gospel with that young man. He shared the gospel with that We don't know at the end, because he went to prison. We don't know anything about him. But to think, the covering, you'll see the glory of God. And we knew that we knew God sent Jesus. You see, because if you're going to pray, pray for big stuff. Pray for that son that seems so rebellious, that doesn't want to come home. Pray for that daughter that's dancing around with the devil. We kick the devil out of the house. Pray for those that are trying to steal our kids and trying to indoctrinate them and brainwash them, because we have power over the blood. We do. We do. So when we don't know how to pray, remember, it says in Romans 8:26, likewise, the Spirit also helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what we should pray as we ought, but the Spirit makes groanings and moanings in us. So if you're groaning over your family, that's a prayer to God. That's transcription. He has a scribe in the spirit saying, I understand that groaning and that moaning. Because when you've been in the gap for a long time, you get weary and you get tired, and the devil lies to you and says, I no longer hear your prayers. He's not hearing you. That's totally a lie. So those moanings and groanings, God says, I hear you. I hear you. I like the way the New Living Translation says, Isaiah says, I will answer them before they even call to me. While they're still talking about their needs, I will go and show up and answer their prayers. He's going to come and show up and answer our prayers. And if you fail, then you fall. Because you see, sin is a barrier. Then repent. Well, I fell. It's not my mother's fault. It's not my father's fault. It's not the dog or the fish. It's me. It's me. He'll hear you. He'll hear you. He'll always hear you. Because he's about to display the greatest things in your life. And so it says, do not believe the enemy's lies. The Lord hears you. You have to cultivate the relationship with the Father. See, we cultivate other relationships. We cultivate the relationship on Facebook and social media. We cultivate the relationship on people who really don't care. I got a secret for you about us. Cultivate the relationship with the Father. Spend time with the Father. Give it all to the Father. And if your father wasn't the greatest thing that ever walked around the earth, the Lord is going to change your heart and give you a heart for the Father. Because just like when Lazarus, he would say, I'm doing this, Lord, so they know that they know that they sent me. You know, the greatest thing is when God affirms you and you do something that knocks the socks out of people's feet. When you do something and says, I know I couldn't do this, and God opened the door. I know I was going to die, and that happened to me several times, right, Ruth? And God opened the door. I know that I know that I know I didn't have sufficient money, and God opened the door. I know that I know that I know the world may be mocking me as a Christian, but I know where I stand in Christ, and they'll surely come to hear what I have to say because I have confidence in the one that sent me. See, we're sent by God wherever we go. You are sent by God at your jobs, at your schools. And wherever you are, you're a Christian. You have to see yourself greater. You've been sent there by the Father. You're not just being sent there to get an education or to get a job or to make more money. You've been sent there by the Father. You've been sent there for Jesus, because somewhere in that place, there's someone looking and hungry for God. And you're the answer. You and I are the answer. It says, call to me. Jeremiah 33:3, and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things you do not know. You see, if you think this is church and this is all about God, only this, you are shortchanging yourself, because God is greater than all of this. He's greater and has greater purposes than this. If you think that this is it, to come to church and just to sing and to hang out and meet every Thursday, meet every Friday, and come, and it starts getting stale, and it starts getting status quo, and you've missed the point, because God is greater than this. He wants to show up and give and show his glory. He does. I was very humbled by my brother. He kept saying, I never spoke to your husband. And I go, I should have shut up. And I said, yes, you did. But he spoke to the Father. And my brothers and my sisters, I don't know too many things. And I'm not embarrassed to say that. It's the truth. I may not go many places. That's the truth. And I may not be the greatest of greats. But I have one thing I know for sure. I know that I know he hears me. I join Jesus. I come in agreement with Jesus. You come in agreement with a lot of people, but let's agree with Jesus for once. Jesus says, he thanked the Father. And he says, because you always hear me. I know, I come in agreement with the Father. I come in agreement with Jesus. I may not be able to speak 100,000 languages. And sometimes I might not be able to do a lot of things. I may not be very talented, because I'm not. There's nothing wrong with saying that. You don't want to ever hear me sing. My husband doesn't want to hear me sing. But I know he hears my prayers. I know when I speak to him, he hears my prayers. I know in the middle of the night when God shows me a face, if some of you here, I may not tell you I'm praying for you, because I've learned you don't have to do that. Because at the end of the day, we want God to be glorified. I know that he hears me. I just don't know it. I know that I know. And I want you to pay attention. Let's thank the Father. Think about everything he's done. It will revolutionize your prayer. If you begin thanking him first. Because then you're going from doubting and maybe to no, I'm thanking you, Dad, because I know you hear me. I know my girls are really far. And I know that they're facing temptation. And I know the devil's trying to tell them a lie and trying to confuse. You know, the devil's trying to confuse our kids. Trying to tell them to have 17, 20 different genders. No, the Bible says in Romans chapter 1, he made female and male. That's it. That's it. That's it. The devil wants to confuse our kids. We're not going to allow that to happen because I know God hears me. The devil's trying to say that a certain lifestyle is appropriate. I'm here to tell you and declare in the name of Jesus Christ. No, it's not. Because our standard is the word of God. And when we uphold his standard, he will answer our prayers. I was praying, guys, and I was so touched by the Lord. He said, Ruth, because you heard my cry, I will answer yours. I was so stunned by that. Because we forget that the Spirit has a cry. We forget that the Spirit can be grieved. We forget that the Spirit calls out for all of us. And he goes, because you heard my cry, I'm going to answer yours. Because God is merciful. And he's merciful forever attending the cry of his people. Forever listening and rescuing his people. Forever knowing that I know that I know he's not going to leave me because I made a mistake. I may leave him, but God never leaves me. It's a marriage to the end of all ages. Thank God for that. I thank the Lord because I thank him in advance. Because he always hears me no matter what condition I find myself. Because there's days that I love God. I love God. Have you had those days? You just love God. And you love God. And you love everybody, right, Pastor? You love everybody. You love everybody. And something happens. And you love them, but there's just people you just don't like. But even in those conditions, he understands the heart. And he still hears our cry. Because the only barrier for us not to get an answer prayer is sin. And I'm going to make an altar call. And I know we can't come to the altar. But the only barrier that will stop an answer prayer if we disobey God. The only barrier that will cause your prayers not to be answered is disobedience. I'm not saying the time that we just have to wait, because sometimes a long process and it's not sin. But I'm talking to my brothers and my sisters that maybe you're not walking the way you ought to walk. Maybe, just maybe, your speech is not what it ought to be. Maybe you're badgering people and just in conflict with people. Maybe instead of covering your brother or your sisters, you're stripping them naked and let them out to hang so that everybody can see. Who gives you the right to do that? Who made you judge and jury? Maybe you're in conflict in your family. Maybe there's spouses that don't speak to one another. And you wonder, what's happening? Why is God not answering me? Just maybe we're standing just like Jesus in a tomb 4 days with rot and decay. And that tomb can represent your marriage. That tomb can represent your family. That tomb can represent yourself. But because Martha and Mary called for the master wasn't turned off because of worms. The master wasn't turned off even when they didn't believe who he was. He saw what they needed and he provided. He saw their doubt and he understood it. You know, be careful when people are doubting. They need to be gently taken care of, because you might be one day in that place. So maybe right now you're standing in the tomb. That tomb represents you. Why should I pray anymore? He doesn't hear me. Why should I believe anymore? He doesn't hear me. Why should I come to church anymore? What they're teaching me wherever I go is telling me it's false, but it's not. It's not. It's not. And maybe you're standing in the tomb. And the reason you're standing in the tomb is because Jesus is standing with you. Because you called the master. And maybe you didn't call the master, but your mom did. Your dad did. Your brother did. Your sister did. And finally, Jesus is at the tomb where it seems that everything's sealed and he's about to show his greatness. Maybe that's where you are. That's where you find yourself. That's where you're contemplating. Maybe you contemplated suicide. I've been praying a lot. I don't know who it is. People here that are battling their thoughts in their minds and they want to give it up all. But they're ashamed to confess it. And today, the Lord is saying, I'm standing with you at that tomb. I'm standing with you at that tomb. There's someone here that feels that life is not the worth living and that person is not the very old. He's standing with you at that tomb. Standing with you because he's about to show you he was sent by the Father. Father, we love you. Abba, we love you with all the fibers in our being. And Lord, when I look at my brothers and my sisters and I see the struggle, oh God, and I'm asking you, Lord, it's not too late, because Lord, they believe in their hearts that you don't listen. They believe in their hearts, Lord, you've given up on them. They believe in their hearts, Lord, what's the point? But you're here today to remind us that you're always here. It can be the deadest of situations, because Abel was dead. God, Lazarus was dead. Oh God, it was... They weren't pseudo dead. They were really dead. But that didn't stop you from hearing their cry. God, Mary and Martha buried their father and like a brother, but like a father figure to them. But you heard their cry. And I'm asking, Lord, for everyone here that's buried a hope and buried a dream. I'm asking, Father, for those that are burying their prayers. I'm asking, Lord God, for those, oh God, that believe that you don't listen no matter what happens. Because every time they call out to you, oh God, things happen that are worse. But you're listening to the heart. And Lord, we're standing today, Lord, and I know you hear me, oh God. And I know, God, you're going to rescue the one that's contemplating to end their life. And I know you're going to rescue the one that's contemplating to end their marriage. And I know you're going to come, oh God, to the one that says, why go back to church? It makes no difference. And you're going to come and rescue us, oh God, because you heard the cry of your people. And I'm asking, Lord, Spirit of the living God, sweep over this place like never before. And come and wash, oh God, every place that's been tainted. Every place that's been dirty and filthy by and molested, oh God, by the people and the news media, God. And I'm asking you, Lord God, wash us clean because we're the people of God. Wash us clean, oh God, because we have access to you, Lord God. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, oh Lord. And I'm asking you today, Lord God, for those in their hearts, oh God, they're saying, oh, this is it. This is it. Nothing more. I won't give anything else. I'm going because you're shoving me to go. I'm coming here. Don't bother me. But that person in this room, God heard that. And now that he's hearing that, he understands it. He understands your disappointment and he understands your hurt so deep that you don't know what to do. So Father, we stand now, not only in front of a tomb, but a resurrected tomb. Oh, bring your people out, Lord. Bring out every person out, Lord God. Bring out the one that's a child that's crying out to you, Lord God. Bring out the Lazarus that's dead, oh God. Bring them out, Lord. Bring out the one that needs vengeance and justice, oh Lord. Come and you heard that cry, Lord. Bring them out, oh God, because we know that you're going to hear us. Lord, I'm asking you, God, that you will populate this house like never before. We're not building a building just to build a building, oh God. We're building a building to fill it up and teach and instruct and disciple. We're building a building to glorify the one and only, the Father. So Lord, we thank you in advance. In the name of Jesus to Christ, I thank you in advance. Amen.
Thank you for taking the time to listen to this sermon. We pray it blesses and encourages your life.